The Chicago White Sox split a doubleheader with the Yankees in the Bronx. White Sox hit four home runs in game one, eclipsing yet another rough outing by Lance Lynn. It was the first time ever that Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert Jr., and Eloy Jimenez all homered in the same game. In game two, the White Sox had more walks than hits, and that's really all you need to know. Sox won the series and now play host to the Miami Marlins on the South Side.
You are Locked On White Sox, your daily Chicago White Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Sox fans, welcome back to Locked On White Sox. Thank you for making Locked On White Sox your first listen each and every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sox. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search Locked On White Sox. This episode is brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Last-minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hey, I'm your host, Nick Morawski, a lifelong diehard Chicago White Sox fan, recording this podcast just blocks from the ballpark in beautiful Bridgeport. You can find me on Twitter at Nick_GGTB. Locked On White Sox is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Our Chicago White Sox take on the Miami Marlins on Friday. Dylan Cease is on the hill. Catch every pitch of the White Sox hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search White Sox. All right, our Southsiders, 28-36. They are 3.5 games back in the AL Central. So the Minnesota Twins lost before game one of the Sox-New York Yankees doubleheader. Before that even started, Sox were 3.5 games out prior to first pitch. Twins are now, I believe, one game under 500, so nobody in the AL Central is at 500 or better. It's an unbelievable division. It really is. I don't remember something like this in a while. AL Central has been kind of rough over the last few years, but this is something else. Lance Lynn was on the hill for game one. Jake Berger back in the lineup. Zavala behind home plate. Moncada and Romy Gonzalez playing. Luis Severino on the hill for the Yankees. No Judge. Nestor Cortes, not someone that the Sox would face. He's not available. A different Yankees team, but really, who cares? You know, beat them, offer no apologies, move on. It's really not who you play, it's when you play them, right? So I was looking for, you know, on base percentage for the Sox, man. Let's get some walks. Let's see some pitches. Let's take advantage of that. I was also looking in game one for more guys to get involved, not just Berger and Zavala. And that definitely happened. I mean, home runs from Berger, which is just, he is on a tear. I mean, he is just fun to watch. His story is great. I mean, sir, everybody voting for him now for the All-Star game. Who would have thought that just 5 months ago, something in the offseason? So Berger homered, Robert Jr. homered, Moncada homered, Jimenez homered. First time Moncada, Robert, Jimenez all homered in the same game, including the postseason. Not that there's been a lot of postseason games, but that is just unbelievable. I think 120, was it opportunities that they had a chance to do this, and it was the first time it has been done in game one. So Sox beat the Yankees 6-5. It was a fun game, intense at the end. Top of first, Luis Robert Jr. with a two-out broken bat single. Then he stole second, which is a good sign. Eloy was at the plate, and the White Sox walk in the first inning. Sirens going off. Moncada struck out the end of the inning, but getting that walk was a good sign. Bottom first, coming into the game, four previous day game starts for Lance Lynn, 1-3, 10.53 ERA, 7 home runs in 19 innings, opponents hitting .348. Lynn was rough in game one. He issued 2 walks in the first, went upstairs on an 0-2 pitch to get Bowers swinging. Bowers would have his revenge in both games. End of the inning for Lynn, 23 pitches. Top of second, Andrew Vaughn with a walk to lead off the inning. Second walk for the Sox so far. Berger with a bomb to right center. Left center. 2-0 White Sox. The walks, it was like, this is great. And then Jake Berger just unleashed on one. So quickly, Sox with the lead. Bottom second, a 2-out triple by McKinney. He was ahead in the count, and Lynn threw a non-competitive cutter. It was middle-middle. It was a get-me-over cutter, really. It was doing nothing. It was the old cement mixer that I've talked about. It was appropriately smashed. Then another cutter to the 9-hitter on a 2-2 count that caught a ton of the plate. RBI double. 2-1 Sox, RBI single with 2 strikes by Calhoun. The game was tied at 2. 43 pitches after 2. Batting practice, really, with 2 strikes and 2 outs from Lance Lynn. Top of third, leadoff home run by Luis Robert Jr., dead center, 3-2 Sox. Moncada with a bomb. First pitch he saw in the at-bat, 4-2 Sox. Nice to see the White Sox strike back. Berger also had a double in the inning, running pretty well, too. Bottom three, Bowers with a 2-out double. Bottom four, 1-out, a 1-0 count to Calhoun. He crushed a pitch at the top of the zone for a 2-run homer. It was a 4-4 game. After four, Lynn with 6 hits, 4 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts, 78 pitches. Top of five, nothing for our White Sox. Then bottom five, you had Bowers again, a 1-out double on a pitch right down the middle. Lynn, you know, sometimes he just, honestly, lately he looks like a position player, just throwing it, just trying to throw it there, hoping the defense can help him out. I mean, Yankees took advantage of Lynn refusing to mix up locations. Another single through the left side. Yankees scored 5-4 New York. Another outing for Lynn where he just threw batting practice. Non-competitive offerings. Top of six, Romy led off with a walk, another White Sox walk, then stole second with Jimmy Biceps Cordero pitching. Sebi struck out. Romy stole third. On Cordero, really. He wasn't even paying much attention to Romy. And then Tim Anderson with a ground out. No advancement, which was disappointing. Yankees brought in a lefty to face Benintendi and a ground out. It was the first pitch he saw, and it was low inside. I don't think that's in Benintendi's wheelhouse. I mean, he has got a job to do. The Sox had a one. They were down by one run at that point. It was a really pathetic opportunity there. Bottom six, Santos in. That was a clean inning for him. Loved the bullpen in game one, that's for sure. Top of seven, Luis Robert Jr. leadoff double. Eloy Jimenez smashes a home run. His first hit of the series, 6-5 White Sox. Fourth home run of the game for the Sox. Bottom seven, Joe Kelly with a nice clean inning. Sox do nothing in their half of the eighth. And in the bottom of the eighth, it's Lopez. No Middleton. I didn't hear anything about him, if the Sox are maybe saving him. 2 strikeouts, nice inning. Bullpen very impressive so far in game one. Top of nine, nothing from the White Sox. You would have loved just to get some, you know, a few runs. Tight game. So bottom nine, Sox with a one-run lead, going with Kendall Graveman. Leadoff walk, Romy had a bobble at second base, so Yankees with runners at first and second, nobody out. A pop out to Vaughn, then with Rizzo up, a double play to end the game. It was reviewed to see if Tim Anderson touched the bag. Very bizarre ending, but a White Sox winner. Lynn's final line, 5 innings, 8 hits, 5 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts, a home run. His ERA now 6.72. He threw 98 pitches. I got a great email at LockedOnSox@gmail.com from Ryan after the game. He said, is Lynn the worst in all of baseball now that Manoah has been sent down? And honestly, it sure feels like that. Jordan Lyles from Kansas City might be slightly worse, believe it or not, than Lance Lynn. Lynn has the third worst ERA in all of Major League Baseball when it comes to starting pitchers that are qualified. Has given up the third most hits, third most home runs. Lance Lynn is a mess, and it looks it. Bullpen was outstanding in game one for the White Sox. Four innings, one hit, one walk, two strikeouts. Sox offense, six runs, eight hits, four home runs, two doubles. Sox were 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. They had those three walks, 10 strikeouts, left seven on base. Luis Robert Jr. was 3-for-5. Berger, 2-for-5. Mancata, 1-for-4. Had that home run, but also three strikeouts. Getting on base is absolutely important. Seeing pitches, taking walks does matter, but you also have to sprinkle in some hits. Sox offense did not show up in game two, but it was not a surprise. More on that in a moment. Today's episode is brought to you by Game Time. Buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater near you with killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee. You can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. Game Time is the place for last-minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. The White Sox face off against the Marlins on Friday. Catch every pitch of the White Sox hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search White Sox. Game two, wow, it was ugly offensively. 3-0 Yankees. Interesting lineup that Pedro Grifol put out there. But if you were looking for guys to get on base, see some pitches, it kind of made sense. You had Clint Frazier and Gavin Sheets in 1-2. Then Robert Jimenez, Mancata, Berger, Grandal, Gonzalez, Andrus. So no Tim Anderson or Benintendi or Vaughn. Mike Clevinger was on the hill. A right-hand pitcher, Randy Vasquez, on the hill for the Yankees. Not a lot of experience this year in the big leagues. It was his second start. So if you've been a White Sox fan for a while, it's even been happening recently. When the White Sox see a rookie pitcher, when they see somebody that they've never faced before, they will make that pitcher more times than not look like Cy Young, and that's what happened in game two. Liam Hendricks was not available in game two. He's been very careful with the air quality conditions in New York. I have to look out for my health with the low immune system and everything that went on yesterday, meaning Wednesday, and lingered around last night and into Thursday morning. I want to be abundantly safe to make sure it doesn't affect me for the coming weeks. Absolutely understandable. Top of the first, Frazier walked to lead things off. So there you go. First leadoff walk to start the game since May 10th for the Sox. I think I heard Jason Benetti say that. I can't believe it. Aloy had a base hit, and that was it. That base hit held up for a while, though, for the White Sox. Bottom first, Mike Clevinger. Nice, clean inning. Only 11 pitches. And then here comes the theme. Top of second, nothing from the Chicago White Sox. Bottom two, Mike Clevinger efficient again, 21 pitches through two, zero hits, zero walks, also zero strikeouts, which is why, of course, that pitch count was low. Top of third, Sox with just one hit after three innings, you know, and I had a feeling it might be a quiet game, especially after the Sox exploded for four home runs in game one and facing Vasquez in his second start, a rookie. They, of course, have never seen him before. Bottom three, nothing given up once again for Clevinger. Still no strikeouts as well. 30 pitches. He was on cruise control. Top of four, nothing from the White Sox. It was a sleepy game. I mean, not much going on at all for either team at this point. Sox offense being rocked to bed by a pitcher in his second career start. It's unfortunate, but really nothing new. It was one of those things where I was just kind of shaking my head like, yeah, I've seen this before. Kind of knew it was going to happen too. Bottom four, leadoff double by Calhoun on a breaking pitch. So he saw one of those pitches before and then just crushed the second opportunity. He was originally called out at second, but overturned. Perhaps Elvis Andrus missed the tag. The replay, it looked like, you know, if that's what they called him out, might as well just keep it there. I couldn't see anything on the replay. Gleyber Torres destroyed a hanger from Mike Clevinger for a two-run home run. Just like that Clevinger, he comes back to earth. Bowers at it again. This time in game two, a two-out double on a 3-0 count. Top of five, nothing for our White Sox. Sox with just one hit, one walk, two strikeouts after five. Bottom five, another Yankee home run. They were starting to really hit Clevinger's mistakes, and he was making them. 3-0 Yankees at this point. Clevinger got his first strikeout of the game also in this inning. I mean, he was laboring at this point, finished the inning with 76 pitches, top of six. I just wanted to see some life from this offense. Everybody that hit a home run in game one was still right back in that game in game two. A two-out single from Gavin Sheets, a first hit since Aloy's first inning hit. Robert was hit by the pitch on his shoulder. Sox had the tying run at the plate. Yankees made a pitching change, and Aloy struck out. Just no chance on a slider. End of inning. Bottom six, Clevinger was back out there. It was his last inning. Was at 99 pitches and issued a two-out walk, then a base hit to put runners on the corners. Grifol had seen enough, came out to get him. Bummer came in. He got out of the inning without an issue. You know, Clevinger, I mean, he was lights out for three innings and then just collapsed a bit, threw a few mistakes, and he was punished for those mistakes. Sox offense being absolutely lifeless did not help the optics like they did with Lynn in game one. So Clevinger's line, 5 2/3 innings, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, a walk, 2 strikeouts, a couple of home runs. His ERA now 4.19. He threw 101 pitches. Bottom seven, bummer stayed in the game, and he made quick work of the Yankees. Top of eight, Frazier had his second walk of the game. It was also the total amount of walks for the Sox as a team. Romy Gonzalez struck out for the second time. 0-for-6 in the doubleheader with 3 strikeouts. Bottom eight, Crochet came in. He looked pretty good. Top of nine, Luis Robert Jr. with a leadoff walk. So third walk of the game for the Sox. More walks than hits. Aloy running gingerly to first on a ground ball. There was an overthrow, so he gingerly jogged to second. But Trainer came out, and he had to come out of the game. I don't know if they said anything post-game. I didn't watch the post-game. I went to record right away. So maybe everything was okay. He got checked out. It was just precautionary, but it did not look good. There were a couple other groundouts later in that inning, and that game was over. Five-game winning streak gone. Sox did win the series. Bullpen in game two, two and a third inning, 0 hits, 0 walks, 3 strikeouts. Really liked what I saw from the bullpen in that doubleheader on Thursday. Sox offense in game two, 0 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. I do not get it. Again, if they talked about it in post game that, you know, the eye pitch wasn't working or something and they couldn't get Vasquez's pitches in that program, I don't know. It's just, it's an all too common thing with a rookie pitcher or someone that they just don't have any experience against. That has got to change moving forward soon, please. White Sox looking to inch closer to that 500 mark against a Miami team that pitches pretty well. More on that in a moment. Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs make you look good. Their stretch khaki shorts are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and a leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing as Lululemon, but fit way better. They fit better than regular shorts that are made of a stiff, restricting cotton. Bird Dogs fix this issue by inventing cloud knit fabric that looks just like khaki but stretches, so you get a slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. Bird Dogs uses anti-stink sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long, perfect for some of those steamy, humid, thick summer Chicago evenings and days in late July and August. You know what I'm talking about. But wherever you are listening to this, I'm telling you right now, Bird Dogs shorts, absolutely some of the most comfortable shorts I have ever owned. Go to birddogs.com/lockdownMLB and enter code LockdownMLB for a free Yeti-style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/lockdownMLB. Friday and the weekend on the South Side, White Sox play host to the Marlins. You've got Dylan Cease going on Friday, Michael Kopech on Saturday, and Lucas Giolito on Sunday. Hey, Saturday, maybe I'll see you out there. I'll be in that Hawaiian shirt that they're going to be giving out. I like this design. I love this design. I think I've got every single one of their Hawaiian shirts that they've done, and they've been kind of like graphic shirts. They've tried a little bit with some stuff, but this one really looks like a Hawaiian shirt. I'm into it. I will be out there on Saturday. So Dylan Cease has not faced the Marlins before. Luis Arraez, remember him? He is cooking for the Miami Marlins. They are in second place in the AL East. Dylan Cease has a record of 3-3 with an ERA of 4.63 and 74 strikeouts in 13 appearances this season. Last time we saw Cease, it was last weekend against the Detroit Tigers when the Sox swept the Tigers. He went 5 1/3 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. I am looking for Dylan Cease. Please go 6 or 7. Can we get that from you? I really would like to see that. I'd like to see him going deeper in games. You know, he went on that stretch, it wasn't very long, where he wasn't striking out as many hitters, and he was able to go deeper into a game, unless he's got his really good plus wipeout stuff, so you don't have these lengthy at-bats, but looking for Cease to go rather long. Marlins, they pitch. They absolutely pitch. They might not club the ball out of the ballpark, but, you know, the Sox, again, aren't doing it consistently. Maybe that will change. Coming home, weather should be nice in Chicago. Perez will be on the mound for the Marlins. He's got 5 games under his belt this year, 3-1 with a 2.25 ERA, 24 strikeouts in 24 innings. So hopefully there's some preparation with that. Are the Sox back? Again, you know my stance, not till they get to 500. I get it. Minnesota under 500. But they're winning the division. I don't think that's going to that's how the season is going to go, where there's going to be an under 500 team in the AL Central that's going to win the division. I'm looking for the Sox to get back to 500, stay over 500. I don't think they'll be, you know, very far over 500, you know, as the season goes along, if they can get to that point. I like them winning 2 out of 3 in Yankee Stadium. I know it wasn't the exact same Yankee team that they might have fielded a couple days or weeks ago. But, hey, you don't apologize for that. You go in, you take care of business, and now let's see what they can do against a tough Marlins team on the mound. Folks, thank you very much for making this podcast part of your daily routine. You can find the Locked On White Sox podcast absolutely everywhere you find your podcast. We are on Twitter at Locked On Sox. You can find me on Twitter at Nick_GGTB. Hey, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and get any questions and comments you have. into LockedOnSox@gmail.com. White Sox take on the Marlins on Friday on the South Side. Catch every pitch of the White Sox hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search White Sox. Thanks for making Lockdown White Sox your first listen every day. And hey, everydayers, you know who you are. I appreciate it. On the next episode, I will recap the weekend that was for our White Sox. Hopefully, talking about a sweep of the Marlins. Appreciate you making time for the Lockdown White Sox podcast. I'm Nick Morawski. Until next time, go Sox!